It is Sunday morning, March the 9th, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today which gives a basis for a view of the Christian and the world. The passage is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, the Christian and the world. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our gracious God, our heart's desires this morning is that we would be taught how to live in this world while we are on this earth in a way that will bring glory and honor to you. We ask that you will use this passage of Scripture and this message to teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's get into the text by reading it first. It's Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 1, but we're going to study verses 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, 1. Paul writing, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now we need to define these terms as Paul delineates seven or eight one things for the believer. One body, of course, refers to the church. The church made up of all regenerate people, past, now, and future, all of God's elect in one body, which is His church. And there is only one church, all born-again people, some from differing denominations, but one in Christ. There is one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And there is only one Holy Spirit. There are not many Holy Spirits, just one. He speaks of one hope. And that one hope is eternal life with the Lord forever. That is our hope. He speaks of one Lord. That is one Lord Jesus Christ. There are not many saviors, only one. He speaks of one faith, and that faith is based on scriptural truth. One source of truth. One faith, scripture truth. He speaks of one baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of regeneration. There are not two baptisms, only one, the baptism of the Spirit. One God and Father, only one God and Father, only one Lord God Almighty, Creator, Savior. And Paul states that He is above all in sovereignty. He is through all in that He uses people, both believers and unbelievers, for His purposes. So He works through human beings. And then the final statement that He makes is He is in you all, and of course that refers to believers only. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are not in unbelievers. They are in the believers. He is in you all, and we are one with him. So, having defined those terms, let us summarize what is being said here. What does this statement really say? One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. What is that? That is an absolute, which the world does not accept these days. There is no absolutes for this world system. This is an absolute, authoritative statement of fact. It is not a suggestion. It is not a theory. It is a statement. It is a proclamation. Now, this statement provides a home base for the believer. This is our foundation. This is our anchor. This is where we live, according to this authoritative, absolute truth. This is for us. As we think about ourselves in the world, this is where we live, in this realm. In one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and so on. This is where we live. And so this is for the believer. But we live in a world of people. We live among a people called a society. We live among a people called the culture. What is the condition of our society and our culture? I have recently read a new book by a lady named Hendershot, who is one of the best known sociologists in the country. And this is her assessment or her statement about our present society. She says it is rudderless, floundering, confused. And of course, from what we know of the scripture, what we see around us, she's absolutely accurate in her assessment. So now that is her assessment. Let's take a look at our world view according to scripture. The world of unbelievers, what is that like? Our society, our culture, our world of unbelievers live with no absolute authority. Therefore, relevance reigns. And what is right and wrong is according to the situation or the experience. No absolute authority. Secondly, our society and our culture lives with no absolute direction. Floundering, wandering, actually twisted and warped with no absolute direction. Thirdly, our society and our culture lives with no absolute standard. Therefore, tolerance has become the religion of our society. And if you question anything or you speak against anything, you are intolerant. You are less than intellectual. We must be tolerant. That's the religion of the world in which we live. Now, of course, this kind of society is going to be under constant change. And for them, every so often, Authority changes, direction changes, standards change. And there is no foundation. According to our society, the hope is in man. What man can bring about, what can come out of man, a political system that will solve all the problems of the world. Or it will be done by education. If we can just improve education, then everything will be right. Or, of course, now our new hope is in technology. If we can just have greater advances in technological things, we'll be all right. Another hope is in the psychological. The theology of our society, which is a misnomer, is psychology. Another thing that marks our society or our culture is that it's living for self. Our society and our culture and our world is a selfish society, which spells out in at least three ways. With no authority and no direction and no standard, we live for pleasure. Whatever brings pleasure to me is my right. We not only live for pleasure, we live for possessions. Not only for pleasure and possessions, but for passion. So, what we're looking at is where we live as Christians with a solid base of truth that is authoritative and where the world lives. Now, you may ask, Bill, what is the purpose of this message? Why talk about this? There are several purposes. First of all, so that we might see clearly the difference between the Christian world and our world, which we call our society and culture. There is a vast difference. And if we are going to live in this world, in this society, and bring honor and glory to God, we must see the difference. We are called to be different. Secondly, we need to be warned about the world, our society, our culture. There is a strong pull for the Christian to be married to the world. Thirdly, the purpose of the message is to remind us to live under the absolute authority of Scripture, to get our direction from the Scripture, to get our moral standards from the Scripture, and to base our belief on the issues from the Bible, moral convictions from the Bible. And fourthly, to understand our calling. That's the purpose. And I want to refer us now to one other passage of Scripture. It's 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. If it's convenient for you, turn to that passage. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. And John is writing about that which we're speaking this morning, the Christian and the world. And here's his word. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. What does he mean by that? The society or the culture in which we live. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world. That is, do not get married to the world. Do not have the world as your master. We are called to be holy, which means to be set apart. Come out from among them, says the Lord. We are in the world, but not of the world. And we need to know that as Christian people living in this world, we have no obligation to the world to adopt what they are doing in terms of appearance. We do not have to have the outward appearance of whatever styles and fancies the world adopts. With our bodies or with the way we dress, we do not need to do that. Adults and young people, we do not have to fit into their mode, their styles. We do not have to dress like they do. We do not have to adopt their entertainment, either in music or movies or television. We do not have to adopt their moral standards. We are told in Scripture, do not be conformed to this world. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. All of us are attempting to say something. By the way we live, by the way we dress, by the way we appear. What are you trying to say? You're saying something. What are we saying? We're saying something to people who see us and hear us and watch us. And from what we are saying this morning, we appear to be godly or we appear to be worldly. Either or. And if we adopt all the standards of the world, we're going to appear as worldly. We're set apart, called to be salt, a preservative against evil, and called to be light, which is truth. And really today, when we think about this, there is a battle. The world and the flesh and the devil call for our worship. In fact, when the Lord was in the wilderness and Satan came, what did he call for? Worship me. that call comes to us today. The world calls us to join them. They don't want us to be different. They don't want our standards. They don't want God as authority. They're calling for us to join them. Out of our own self, out of our sin nature, there remains a problem for the Christian today as we live here. We will not perfectly overcome the world and the flesh and the devil while we live in this body. That's why we look forward to the eternal life we have with God, when there will be transformation, when there will be no more sin, and we will no longer be worldly, but we will be seen as godly now and forever. Now may the Lord bless this message to our hearts today. My heart goes out to young people in particular who are bombarded with the call of the world. And so they dress, Christian young people dress like the world. They adopt the world standards. They really need our support and our prayer to be a world of godly young people who are the future of Christianity. So, Heavenly Father, our prayer is that you will take this message in all of your word, which teaches us to be godly and not worldly, and give us the strength to do that on this earth while we live in this world. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.